If you think about it, as we get older, we realize that our diet is not just what we eat, it's what we watch, it's what we read, is who we're in relationship with, who we're connected to, who we spend our time with. This is what feeds you mind, body, and spirit. So we often think of diet and we think of food and meals and breakfast, lunch, dinner, but what are you feeding your mind? What are you watching? What are you saying to yourself? What are the thoughts you are allowing? Hey there, it's me, Rainey Howard, and welcome to this special episode of The Rainey Howard Show. All right, 8 lessons that everybody learned too late. Let's get into it. This is really good.
Right.
So we're going to go through these 8 lessons, and this is actually inspired by Stephen Bartlett's post on Instagram, and we're just going to get right into it. The number one lesson that is said that people learn too late is important people come and go, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Important people come and go, and that's okay. And sometimes the most important people in your life can become strangers. Over.
Right. And you can, especially when you think about that as it relates to seasons in your life and timing in your life. You know, the most important people in your life when you're in high school aren't the same most important people when you're in college. They're
That's
not
true.
The most important people when you graduate from college. But people change. Your environment, your circle of people change. And the most important people change on a regular basis as the seasons change in your life.
Yeah, I totally agree that seasons and knowing that some people play a purpose in a certain season. I've talked to so many women who go through divorce, you know, they live their life centered around a marriage and being in a relationship with a man. And things don't work out the way that she planned. And one day her husband and she's a wife and that's how she identify herself. That's a major part of her mindset and how she sees herself. And then the next day it's over.
Right.
And he's no longer that support system that she thought he was. It shows that an important person can become a stranger overnight.
What do you think the biggest challenge, though, that people face when they're in situations like the one you just explained, where their identity was attached to some of the people they were around or that relationship? You know, what is something that people really have to overcome when that change occurs?
I think it's so important that we stay students to life. That we never get to a place where we think we've arrived and we think that we have it all figured out and, oh, this is my husband, this is my kids, this is how. I think we always should be in a place of learning and growing and looking at life as a big lesson and not get stuck in our ways, but keep an open mind to the seasons of life and the purpose and what's behind things and how you can grow and how you can learn from the seasons of life.
Yeah. Yeah. And being optimistic, too. Just to add on to it, having an optimistic mindset that leaves yourself open to new relationships, because even the individuals that were once the most important, with the changes, a stranger, in essence, could be the most important person in your life as that season changes.
And that is so profound to know that a total stranger can be the most important person in your life overnight. And it makes me think of being a mother, because really being a mother, when you give birth to a baby, that baby is really a stranger. When you really think about it, you don't really know that child when the baby comes into this world. But that stranger becomes the most important person in your life instantly once you give birth. You know, it's funny to think of it that way, but isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
especially
I didn't know the child before they came, but
especially
they
from
are instantly important.
Yeah, and especially from a father's standpoint, because I think a mother has more of a connection with the baby before the baby is born. But the dad is, you don't really know the moves of the baby, the schedule, when the baby is up, when the baby, you kind of learn stuff when the baby is in you as a mother. So it's kind of like that. But
yeah, from a father's perspective, I can say, yeah, those are things that I wouldn't have experienced with our two children, learning how they are when they're in you, you know. But I can agree that once they were born and I saw the children, they immediately, even while they were growing in you, seeing them, they immediately became important.
Right.
You know, and a key person in my life.
But even think about dating, like when we first, like we didn't know each other at one point, you know, when you think about it now, we've been together for what, over 20 years and married for 17 years. And the fact that there was a time when I didn't know you, you were a stranger.
Right.
And now
you're still getting to know me.
Exactly. And so now it's like us having this relationship and this marriage for so many years. We both are important. We play important roles in each other's life. But there was a time when we didn't know each other. And so, like, a big lesson to learn is that total stranger can become the most important person in your life overnight.
Yeah.
And, you know, this process can hurt at times with certain people. But it's very important. If it's accepted, it will serve you to improve the quality of your life. And I love that.
Yeah,
I love that, the fact that, you know, we're learning. We don't have it all figured out. We don't know it all.
Yeah, but we keep an open mindset so that we can be open to receive and accept the changes and the blessings that come with the new seasons of life.
Yes. So the number two lesson people learn too late in life is your diet isn't just what you eat. Wow. That's
Explain.
Good.
What does that mean?
So if you think about it, as we get older, we realize that our diet is not just what we eat. It's what we watch. Mm. It's what we read. It's who we're in relationship with,
okay,
who we're connected to, who we spend our time with. This is what feeds you mind, body, and spirit. So we often think of diet and we think of food and meals and breakfast, lunch, dinner. But what are you feeding your mind? What are you watching? What are you saying to yourself? What are the thoughts you are allowing?
Right.
And so a lot of times some people can be one-sided when it comes to health. And they're like, oh, fitness and gym and eating healthy and drinking water. And all that stuff is great and is so necessary. But if you're not feeding your mind, nurturing your mind with the right thoughts and the thing and monitoring, what are you looking at? What are you consuming? Who are the people around you? Are they feeding you negative messages? If you're not aware of that, you could be taking care of your body and exercising and fit, but you can cause yourself to be very unhealthy mentally, spiritually, emotionally.
Yeah. And it makes me think about just the definition of diet as it relates to food, but really applying that to your life in general. The fact that a diet can be a special course of action that one restricts itself so that they can have a specific goal, whether it's for medical reasons or any other specific reason. You know, so having a diet that's attached to your entire life, whether it's what you eat, what you watch, what you engage in, those things are important for developing a healthy life, a healthy mind, body, and spirit.
Very important.
So it's definitely important to restrict what you do, what you consume, what you talk about, the people you allow yourself to be around, because if you don't learn that lesson early, you'll end up realizing later on in life that, man, I wasted so much time hanging out with so-and-so, doing all this stuff when I could have been increasing my career. I could have been growing in my mental capacity. I could have been really developing in other areas of my life, but I've wasted so much time because I didn't have the proper boundaries and the proper restrictions to diet myself from all these things that weren't healthy for me.
Exactly. You know what? I'm really growing in this area too, because, so you know, I have a business coach. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I'm planning out a lifetime plan. And so I'm learning to look at my life in these different categories for my personal life, my professional life. And I'm learning how to really get clear on my vision. And what do I want my personal life? What outcomes do I want from that? And what can I start doing now to create those outcomes, mm-hmm. you know? And what you're saying is so key, because if you're wasting a lot of time with negativity, it will interfere with you going after the life you really desire.
Right. And just wasting your time with junk. You know, I think about myself, you know, as it relates to eating candy. And we know the impact that not eating healthy and sugar and all of those things have on our body. But yet the instant gratification from having it in that moment draws us to me.
Right.
To still want to keep getting some and gathering some.
Yes.
You know, but when you think about getting rid of junk for the sake of your health and your body.
Because let me ask you a question. Because it tastes good in a moment, but how do you feel afterward?
Right. Over consuming, you feel heavy.
I feel heavy. Yeah.
Feel drained, spikes in my, you know, headache sometimes, when you overconsume junk, it has a negative impact.
And just think of the junk food in your mind, like the conversations you're listening to, the toxic conversations, the toxic relationship, how that's the mental junk food.
Right.
And how it may feel good in the beginning. You talking about, oh, they did this. Oh, what
happened? You get a high for a moment.
Yeah. And then when it's over, it's like, ugh, I just spent my time talking about another person. Like, ugh.
It was not edifying in no way.
Exactly. And that's what it does. So your diet isn't just what you eat. I love it. So your goal should always be to have a healthier mind, body, and spirit and remove the junk. How can we start removing the junk from our mindset?
I think to remove the junk from our mindset, to develop a healthier mind, it's important to acknowledge things we need to do daily to build up our mind, to feed our mind with healthy things.
And things we need to stop doing, like some of the stuff. The negative news, the toxic media, the toxic reality shows, and some of that stuff we spend a lot of time doing because it's a way of escape for the moment. But then when that escape time is over, you feel so, like you said, drained.
Drained.
Just exhausted.
Time has been wasted.
Exactly. And it's so good for your own self-image, your own self-worth. Because we start feeling bad about ourselves after a while, after we spend so much time in the junk.
Right. And on the other hand, sometimes you can spend so much time in junk, you can feel good about yourself that causes you to not even want to change.
Right.
You know, when you get so used to and accustomed to seeing junk, being around junk, you might not even notice the junk you got around you, you know.
Exactly. It blends.
Right.
And How have you been able to do that in your relationships when it comes to like maybe old friendships? Or
what I've done has been focused more so on my personal goal, really my mental health goal, my body health goal. I think that has really driven me and the decisions I make, whether I'm looking at certain things on the news or trying to stay away from it to keep my mind clear, not to be wrapped up in what's going on, not engaging in certain conversations with friends. Because I think sometimes it's easy to have your circle of friends and they seeing things that's going on and getting wrapped up in the conversation. Sometimes I'm not engaging in those conversations. You know, I have to remove myself, take a step back, or take those moments to say, you know, I'm not even going to engage too much into it. I don't want to put too much energy into it. And then beyond that, as I separate myself, investing in my mind, by meditation, through reading, through prayer, so that I can keep building myself up and not allow myself to be subject to the things that are going on externally without my effort.
Right. That's good. I know it's been a process,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. It's nothing that's just been easy. I just woke up and I was doing it. It's a gradual process that when you haven't been doing something, you got to set at least a goal of 5 minutes a day to start investing and work your way up to invest even more time in your mental health and in your own personal growth.
Yes, this is good. So, okay, we're on number three. Before we finish this discussion and get more into this conversation, I have to share this with you guys. If you have not read our best-selling book, Deciding to Love, sorry to tell you, but you're missing out. This book is amazing, written by both me and Patrick. And it's not just amazing because we're the authors, but because it is all about turning your argumentative, frustrating, painful relationship into an understanding, healthy, happy, loving relationship. I mean, you've probably been through it where, you know, on the outside, it looks like you have this wonderful, happy relationship and people think that it's happy. But then you have those rare moments where you're arguing and it feels like pain. And you may even be wondering, will your relationship last? How long will this go on? Will you make it through? This book is very transparent. We open up, we share our story of being married for over 17 years. We share our ups, our downs. I mean, you hear it all, okay? So if you have not read that book, I want you to go right now to realloveexist.com and get your copy of Deciding to Love. Get it right now. You will not regret that at all. Again, get your copy of Deciding to Love and turn your argumentative, frustrating, painful relationship into an understanding, healthy, happy, loving relationship. The third lesson that people learn too late in life is you have to let people down sometimes to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That is so true.
Absolutely love this lesson. And it's crazy because I'm just starting to get it, really, in this year. And I don't think I've arrived. I'm still working on it. But I've struggled with this like most of my life, not wanting to let other people down. It ultimately ends up letting myself down when I have that mindset. So your mental health is way more important than your career, than money, than people's opinions and events, things people want you to attend and do, and the mood that your partner has and your family wishes and all that.
Right.
You got to learn how to take care of you. Years ago, I struggled with anxiety and depression and panic attacks, and I dealt with a number of things all at once in a season in my life. And I remember feeling so helpless. And I felt like I was just exhausted. I felt like I was so focused on everybody else and what do they want from me? And how can I serve more? And how can I give more? And how can I be better? And I felt like I had worked myself to the bone and I didn't have anything in my cup left.
Yeah.
And so when I learned self-care and how to build myself up and everything, I start learning the importance of saying no, turning some people down, letting some people down.
Right.
Because it was about taking care of me. And that may mean letting some people down, then you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to let them down.
And you know, I think about just what you said when you started as it relates to letting people down, whether it's your careers or things like that. A lot of times, you know, and I think about working traditional jobs and 9-to-5, which, you know, I've been doing for so long. And what I've noticed is that people look at their companies in the same way, like they can't let them down. they can't take a vacation. They can't take a sick day. And all that time, they're sacrificing their health and their mental health for the sake of, I gotta be here for this company. I gotta be here for my job. I gotta be here for my career. And they sacrifice and they health, really. Because so many times people are looking at the future like, once I get to this age, you know, retirement age, once I get to this place, then that's when I start relaxing and focusing on some of the stuff that I want to do in my life. And until then, I'm going to be grinding. I'm going to be working on this job. I'm going to be doing this. And a lot of times, it really is sad. A lot of times, people don't even make it to the point to where they can enjoy those years because they've sacrificed so much of their health in the midst of providing for that job, that career, and for the people on their team, you know, air quotes, team, throughout all of those years. And then they don't get a chance to enjoy it because their health is so bad or their ailments are so bad that they can't even maneuver like they planned, you know. That just draws in the whole reason why there are moments where you gotta just let people down. You gotta just say, I'm not gonna be in today.
I
gotta take care of myself. I gotta do something I enjoy beyond just serving.
Yes, because you, and it reminds me, I just put a post up recently on my Instagram page and I said, it's okay to be happy all the time, to allow yourself to be happy all the time. I really wanna pull it up just to share it because a lot of people said how much they needed to read that. I said, you are worthy of feeling good all the time, not some of the time, all the time. It takes a lot of inner work to get to a place in your life where you're fully receiving all the blessings life has to offer and believing you deserve it. A lot of times people just, they feel like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to work for this person and do, you know. And they go and go and go and they never stop.
Right.
And so it's very important, like you said, that you take care of yourself, that you create boundaries and you create balance and you say, hey, I'm not going to be able to come in today.
Right.
I need a rest.
And as it relates to relationships, when relationships are one-sided, when they're toxic or they're one-sided, people can get burned out. You can sacrifice your happiness trying to make sure the other person in the relationship is happy.
Yeah.
And that you're sacrificing all of who you are just to try to accommodate for how someone else feels. And that's why it's key to, you got to let them down sometimes. You got to let them grow through their situation sometimes. You can't always be the answer for everything and trying to figure out every problem for every circumstance that come up. You got to allow God to move. You can plant the seeds, but you got to make room for God to bring about the growth and the harvest and things like that so that you can make sure you're protecting your peace and your happiness in the process.
Yes, I love it. And people, we all need to know that our self-love must be stronger than our desire for being loved by somebody else or being validated by somebody else.
Yes.
It's so important. Okay, so let's get into the fourth lesson that people often learn too late, and that is never let rejection lead you to self-rejection.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something.
Okay, let's get into it. So basically, a person who has experienced rejection and fears rejection, and a person who that fears rejection tends to push and run away before they can be rejected.
Yeah, that's the fear of failure.
Yeah, it's like you've been in a relationship and maybe it didn't work out. Or maybe you've been in several relationships that didn't work out and people did you wrong and they cheated and they used you and they lied to you. So instead of you being open for love, you push it away. And you run away just to protect yourself from being rejected. But in your subconscious mind, you believe that you've avoided rejection. But the reality is you've been rejected again, but this time it's by yourself.
Yeah.
You're rejecting yourself. And some people may be wondering, like, how? How am I rejecting myself if I'm staying away from that potential heartbreak or I'm running, I'm leaving. Well, you're rejecting yourself because you're not allowing yourself to be open for the possibility of love. And so a lot of times, just because you've had failed relationships and you think, man, these relationships just don't work. It's them. I don't know what to do. I just need, I've heard so many women tell me, I've given up on love. Like, really?
Right.
So
if, oh, there's no good men out there.
Yeah. And so I'd say to them, like, listen, if you did the work and really got to the core of whatever it is that you're dealing with, healing yourself and not just thinking it's about the other person, you will be able to set yourself up, strengthen yourself enough to know how to attract real love and how to identify it and how to discern and utilize your intuition in such a way that you don't even have to worry about running from anything. You just know.
Right. And you know what's funny about this is when you think about, you know, what we're talking about and the fact that people, these are lessons that people learn too late. You think about somebody being young and ambitious, how the saying is, certain ambitious women, they don't find relationships. There are no good men out there for them and stuff like that. People go through these time frames where they feel like they're growing in their professional life and they don't have time or the people aren't available for relationships during that time frame. But then when you see those same individuals who are ambitious to get older, not sure if their standards are lowered, but they somehow seem to be more open to meeting people, more open to connecting with folks, more open to dating online or being introduced to someone by one of their friends. These are things that they start realizing later on down the line when it's a lesson that you could have learned years before.
Exactly. I think what happens is they start to realize, okay, I'm getting older. Okay, yeah. I need to do something now. Okay, I need to be a little more. It's kind of like working better under pressure. You know, people say, oh, I work better under pressure.
Right.
It's just like working better under pressure. So now you set yourself up to be ready because you're under the pressure of getting older.
And it's the pressure of not fulfilling those goals, too.
Exactly.
You know, when people have these goals with where they expect to be in their lives, they start seeing that the time is passing. I'm getting older. Maybe I need to make some adjustments on how I view things so that I can start accomplishing these goals. Not realizing the fact that that mindset has blocked and rejected any possible opportunity that would have came to you over the course of those years prior to you getting to that place.
Yeah, I agree. I think even in the area of your career, you know, you can reject yourself or in your business if you're fearful of taking certain risks. Because what I've learned in business and succeeding and scaling and growing a profitable, successful company, it requires big risks.
Yeah.
It requires big faith. It requires even bigger action. And so if you're not even willing to take the first step, don't expect success to just fall in your lap.
Right.
You got to build that faith muscle. You got to build your mind to get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Right. And one thing, too, that I saw as it relates to corporate America, people feel that they should be paid a certain amount. They do their research to know that they should be paid a certain amount. But then when it comes time for evaluations, they're afraid to make that request. They've rejected the possibility. They're waiting for someone to offer them what they already know that they're worth. So they're rejecting themselves before they even get the opportunity to speak it up.
Yeah.
They don't even say it. They don't even communicate it.
Ask is the very first process of receiving. Speak up, speak up.
Right.
Yes. Ask and it shall be given. But you do. You got to be proactive with that because it's not going to fall in your lap. That's right. Not how it works.
Opportunities just don't happen. We create the opportunities. We position ourselves appropriately to receive them. And we pray that God will open our eyes to see the opportunities presenting themselves to us, to see those open doors, and to that our ears will be open to hear God's small voice speaking to us, telling us to move forward. But we can't hesitate.
That's
we
right.
got to move forward. And we can't wait to what seems to be the right opportunity to do it. We have to take it when we know that We are doing what we're called to do in that very moment.
That's right. And not hold yourself back. We got to know to just move forward each and every day. Little small progress, little small wins create big success. But you just got to be consistent. You got to make a habit out of it. You got to make a lifestyle out of it. And eventually you'll turn around and see your life and like, whoa, what happened?
Right.
But it takes small consistency every single day, just moving a little closer, moving a little closer to where it is you want to go. And it's so important that you stay focused. But if you push it back or run away from it, you're only rejecting yourself from happiness and from the life you know you really desire and you should believe that you deserve.
Yes, ma'am.
So this was good. Okay. These lessons, we have four more to go through. However, we're running out of time for this podcast. So we're going to do a part two of this.
Yes.
So please tune in because we got some good ones. Part two, we're going to talk about owning your responsibilities and owning your future, what that means. Quality over quantity. Life is about quality, not quantity. Man, this is good. The fact that having a quality friend is way more valuable than 100 acquaintances.
Right.
So, yeah, y'all don't want to miss it. We got some more topics for the next episode. So join us in part two. Thanks for listening to The Rainey Howard Show. Thanks for tuning in for this episode of The Rainey Howard Show. Be sure to sign up to our emailing list at realloveexists.com and raineyhoward.com. We want to hear from you. Send your feedback on today's episode on Facebook and Instagram at Rainey Howard. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to download and subscribe so that you don't miss our next episode. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you in our next show.